Good morning. It's Tuesday, the 21st of July, and the quiet of the weekend is well and truly over. This morning has one big argument running underneath almost everything I read, and a few smaller stories that turn out, on a second look, to be that same argument wearing different clothes. Alfie, so pour yourself a coffee and settle in. There's a lot moving today, and I want to take it slowly. Let me get into it. First up, and it really was the story of the day. From the research crowd all the way to the trading desks, the question of how far China's open-weight models have closed the gap with the American frontier. This has been simmering for months, but this week it boiled over. The spark is a model called Kimi K3 from the Beijing startup Moonshot. It's a mixture of experts' model with 2.8 trillion parameters, the largest open-source model in the world. And its weights are due to be released on the 27th. And it didn't just look respectable. On a closely watched coding leaderboard from Arena, it landed ahead of both OpenAI's GPT 5.6 and Anthropic's most capable model, Claude Fable 5. What makes that sting is the story people have been telling themselves for a couple of years now, that Chinese labs only keep pace by distilling American models, learning secondhand from the leaders. Arena's chief executive said this is the first result that really breaks that mental model. The first time it looks like these labs might just be good at building models rather than copying them. Nathan Lambert, who writes the newsletter Interconnects, put it in terms of time. The gap between open and closed and between American and Chinese has compressed from a debated 6 to 9 months down to something more like 3 to 5. He called K3 the closest open weights have come to the frontier since DeepSeek R1. And there's a hard number underneath the mood. The United Kingdom's AI Security Institute ran 70 narrow cybersecurity evaluations and found that the open model, GLM 5.2, now performs about like Claude Opus 4.6 did just over 4 months earlier. That's a much tighter lag than the 6 to 10 months they were measuring through most of last year. Here's why this is more than a leaderboard. Every capable free model out of China gives a company one more reason not to pay for metered access to OpenAI or Anthropic. That pressure has spilled into policy. There's been reporting that a ban on foreign open source models has been discussed, and current and former advisors disagreed sharply and publicly about what to do. Moonshot, for its part, is seeking approval to begin a public offering in Hong Kong, and in a twist worth holding on to. Beijing itself has reportedly been in closed-door talks since June about restricting foreign access to its own most advanced models. The one thing you should not assume anymore is that the next big Chinese release simply shows up worldwide, with weights you can download on day one. Moving to the second story, which is about the machines underneath the models. According to the information, Google is building a new server chip that does something unusual. It bakes the blueprint of its Gemini model directly into the silicon. The nickname inside the company is, fittingly, Frozen. Version 2. Instead of running the model as software on a general-purpose accelerator, the design etches the model's structure into the chip itself. The payoff the engineers are projecting is large. They think it could be 6 to 10 times more efficient than Google's newest homegrown chips, measured as the number of tokens it can serve for each unit of power. And the reason that matters right now is capacity. The information says the shortage of AI compute has gotten bad enough inside Google that its cloud arm has been turning away outside customers. So a big jump in efficiency isn't an abstract win. It's more demand served from the same power and the same floor space. The market took it seriously. Alphabet's stock rose about 3% on the news, and TechCrunch confirmed the broad outline. The engineering bet is the part I keep turning over. Freezing a specific model into hardware only pays off if that model's shape stays stable long enough to justify a multi-year chip cycle. That's the whole gamble hidden in the name. If frontier architectures are settling down, if the broad structure of a model like Gemini changes slowly now, then specializing the silicon around it could become a durable cost advantage that nobody renting general-purpose chips can match. But if the architecture keeps shifting underneath, that same rigidity turns into a liability. A very expensive chip built for a model you've already moved past. Either way, 6 to 10 times is a big enough number that, if it survives contact with production, it reframes the whole efficiency conversation around a single question. Which thing do you hold still, the model or the machine that runs it? Third up, we move from the data center out to the flight line. At the Farnborough Air Show, the defense company Anduril unveiled a new aircraft called Thunder. It's an autonomous attack rotorcraft, a tilt rotor, in the Group 5 class of larger drones, and it's designed to fly alongside crewed military helicopters as what the industry calls a loyal wingman. If you've been following the collaborative combat aircraft being built to escort fighter jets, this is that same idea brought down into the world of helicopters, where you're flying lower and slower, and the fight happens closer in. Anduril says it's been working on Thunder for about 3 years, and it built the aircraft together with Archer Aviation, borrowing Archer's experience with tilt rotor propulsion. What if the company's president framed the whole design around what he called maneuver warfare and around the lessons coming out of Ukraine, specifically the question of how you bring mass to a tactical fight where crewed aircraft are more and more exposed? The pitch is that an autonomous, expendable escort can absorb some of that risk, extend how far a formation can see, and add magazine depth, all without putting more crews forward. It's aimed at future Army, Marine Corps, and special operations missions. What's notable here is the shape of the company making the pitch. Anduril made its name on software and smaller systems, and here it's stepping into the role of a prime contractor building a large, complex air vehicle. The open questions are the ones any prototype carries. How much of that autonomy is actually flight-proven versus still on the roadmap? What one of these costs when you want them in the numbers the word mass implies, and how a tilt rotor trades away some of the low-speed agility that helicopter escort really demands. Defense One framed the same aircraft as a robot wingman pitched to the Army, and that framing is the tell. The near-term conversation isn't about replacing the helicopter. It's about giving each one a machine to fly beside it. And for the fourth and final story this morning, a courtroom. A federal judge gave final approval on Monday to Anthropic's $1.5 billion settlement of a class-action copyright lawsuit brought by a group of authors and publishers. Post that clears the way for the company to actually start paying. The structure works out to about $3,000 per work across an estimated 500,000 works, and it's believed to be the largest recovery in the history of United States copyright law. But a lot of the authors don't see it as a win, and the reason is in how the underlying question got decided. Was it the original judge sided with Anthropic on the core issue? He ruled that training a model on copyrighted text counts as fair use, a decision a lot of people read as a turning point for the whole industry. What that ruling did not bless was how Anthropic got the books in the first place. The company had built its training library two ways: books it bought and scanned, which the court was fine with, and books it pulled from pirate repositories, which the judge found unlawful on their own terms. He signaled the piracy question could go to a jury, and Anthropic settled soon after, rather than risk a trial. Here's the catch that makes this less settled than the dollar figure suggests. Because this is one district court's decision, and because settling means it never climbs up to an appeals court, it doesn't become binding precedent. Other judges are free to reach their own conclusions, and they're already doing exactly that. There's a whole line of copyright suits still live against Google, Meta, Midjourney, and OpenAI. Just last week, a group of publishers and authors filed a fresh one against Google over the books used to train Gemini. So the takeaway for anyone building these models is narrow but sharp. The fair use argument for training survived, but where your data came from is now the exposed flank, and how you got your corpus can matter as much as what was in it. So what tied this morning together? Four rooms in the same building. In the first, the models themselves turned into a contest between open and closed, and between two countries. In the second, the fight moved down into the silicon with a chip built to hold a single model still. In the third, it moved out onto an airfield where the wingman is learning to fly itself. and in the fourth, into a courtroom, where the question was never whether the machine could learn, only whether it was allowed to read what it read. Competition, compute, conflict, and copyright, the same technology, growing up in public, on four fronts at once. The full digest has the rest. The research papers, the tooling, the smaller industry moves. Until then, keep reading, and I'll see you tomorrow.